You know, I can. Okay. So here on the left-hand side is the parasympathetic nervous system, but this see the Roman numerals here, and this is the 10th. That's the vagus nerve coming off of the base of the skull, and it's called the vagus because it travels everywhere. And it goes up into the face, the salivary glands, the ear. I think some of other ones go to the eye, I guess. I understand it goes up towards the eye too. And then it goes down to the lungs and the heart and the whole digestive system, including the liver and spleen. And it goes to the kidneys and pretty much you name it in the abdomen. And I know it has a connection to the adrenal glands. So if it's not working, that's why people get anxiety and anxiety attack, panic attacks, because their vagus isn't working. So here is a picture of a woman and her vagus nerve and how it goes up into her eye, ear, oh, the back of the mouth has some innervation, so people might have trouble talking or swallowing if they have a poorly functioning vagus nerve. And then of course the heart, it slows down the heart rate so that it doesn't get out of control. The vagus nerve, okay, I'll go into the notes now. And wait.
Does this run in through the spinal cord?
No, it comes out directly from the brain through the back of the neck. And that's why people with neck injuries sometimes get problems with the vagus nerve. So a neck injury can actually cause panic attacks, GI trouble, other, heart trouble, stemming from a pinched vagus nerve in the back of the neck.
So it doesn't run inside the spinal column, then it's
No.
outside the spine.
Yeah. So I guess that's part of why we're okay, now this is what you can see, right? Okay. So this is called the 10th cranial nerve, originating in the brain stem, traveling through face, neck, lungs, heart, the diaphragm and abdomen, including the stomach, spleen, intestines, colon, liver, and kidneys. And this is the parasympathetic nervous system. It's the major part of it, really, that governs rest and digest and repair. So it's unconscious, it's part of the unconscious autonomic nervous system. It's not your, your conscious nervous system governs what you consciously do. This is the stuff you don't normally think about. And it's opposite to the fight or flight responses of the sympathetic nervous system. So it controls the heart rate, breathing, digestion, urination. Okay, so that's a the, you know, con well, I don't have to describe problems with urination. Immune system, which I just learned that it's also involved in that. Taste and touch perception. Muscles involved in speech and swallowing and mood regulation. The symptoms of vagal nerve dysfunction are abdominal pain, GERD, difficulty swallowing or speaking, hoarseness, nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite or weight loss, dizziness or fainting, cardiac arrhythmia, and blood pressure changes. And the major disorders caused by vagal nerve dysfunction are gastroparesis. And this is when the stomach is paralyzed or it's slow or even fails to empty into the intestine. And the other major disorder is called vasovagal syncope, when the blood pressure drops suddenly, causing it dizziness or fainting. I've heard of people lately getting dizzy. So this could be one of the problems. So causes of vagal malfunction can include diabetes, which I didn't know, viral infections, abdominal surgery, and scleroderma, which I had to look that one up. Scleroderma is an autoimmune disease that can affect any of the organs. Now, does anybody have any questions or comments before we go on? So, I follow this doctor. His channel on YouTube is Marrow Genomics, and he has a lot on COVID, but he recently, evidently, mainstream medicine recently discovered the vagus. And so he's very excited about it. He's done these three videos on the vagus lately. And he's excited for all three of them. So evidently, they discovered the cholinergic anti-inflammatory pathway, which is from the vagus, in 2002. And these discoveries have started a new branch of medicine, bioelectronic medicine. And it specializes in electromodulation. There's already an FDA-approved device for vagal nerve stimulation modulation, and it's called NeuroSim. And this is external stimulation. I know that they're playing around with implants, but we're not going to go into that. I don't think it's a good idea. Too invasive. You can do it all externally, evidently. So he also goes over this clinical study of vagal stimulation on long COVID. And this is amazing. They did 10 days of stimulation, 35 minutes per day, and 100% of the participants improved from long COVID. Then they monitored side effects, and it was very few of them, but the most common symptom was just temporary weakness that they recovered after their treatment, you know. So that might make sense because it's stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest, you know, relax, repair is part of it. So then his third video, and here are the links if you want to watch them. The vagus nerve and dysautonomia.
Dysautonomia.
Thank you.
I know that because my daughter was just diagnosed with that recently.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So this was a study. You might want to follow this. And but they studied it as a result of COVID, like after COVID, or after getting the shot and having the spike protein produced in you. So both of those things can cause this. So this study was based on the autopsies and biopsies of COVID patients. And so they studied what the vagus nerve looked like. So and they found that the vagus nerve is also involved in the clotting, which that's another side effect, you know, of clotting is a side effect of both COVID and the shot. Now, moving on to another channel, and I believe, I'm not sure if this was an MD or not, JJ Medicine, and he talks about gastroparesis, which you remember, that is the paralysis or, you know, the stomach, of the stomach, or the fact that it doesn't empty readily. And so he talks about this, and that the reason it's not emptying doesn't have to do with a physical blockage. And he covers the symptoms like chronic nausea and vomiting of undigested food. You might feel full quickly and for a long time after eating. Abdominal pain in the upper central portion of the abdomen. That's where the stomach connects to the duodenum. And sometimes you might get a vague feeling of pain, and it worsens when you eat. Also heartburn because food is sitting in the stomach too long and the gastric contents start coming up into the esophagus. Bloating and belching and reduced appetite and weight loss. So that's gastroparesis. And now this other one covered the vasovagal syncope. And that's the most common cause of fainting when the vagus malfunctions due to an emotional response to something like the sight of blood. If you know anybody who faints, the sight of a needle or blood or something else. If you stand for a long time or if you're overheating, you might get this dizziness or fainting. So the vagus is suddenly activated during these periods and it causes a sudden loss of consciousness due to a sudden drop in heart rate and blood pressure. So it's like an overreaction of the vagus. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
I also found out the left and the right diaphragm are different. Who knew? And now check how you're sitting. Are you leaning slightly to the right? Are you, how many people are leaning to the right? I am. I always do. So we shouldn't do that.
Why?
Why? Because the diaphragm needs to be in good shape for the vagus to work properly. And so when we breathe, we tend to use the left side more than the right side. So the left lungs fill like a balloon more and it pushes us to the right. So that further compresses the right side of the lungs. Okay, so if one side is compressed, the other side doesn't function properly, and full diaphragm breathing is necessary for the vagus nerve to function properly. So if you breathe wrong, like more on one side than the other, it can also cause your neck to come forward. I don't know if you know this, but as we age, sometimes our necks come forward, or if you look at your phone too much, right? This affects the vagus nerve. So sitting too much also inhibits full breathing. Like you can tell if you're up, standing, moving around, it's easier to take a deep breath than it is sitting down. So it's important to move and fully exhale and inhale with the diaphragm. Use that lower, muscle, the diaphragm, rather than just the shallow breathing up here. So this video is a long explanation, but it does have a breathing exercise that begins halfway through the video at 14 minutes, 55 seconds. So you can look at that if you want to see it, see the exercise. So now Sue tuned me in to Professor Steven Rotschlitz, and he discusses a link between the hiatal hernia syndrome, vagus nerve imbalance, and many health conditions, including type 2 diabetes, pericarditis, anxiety, high blood pressure, digestive disorders, neurological disorders, asthma, POTS, which is postural tachycardia syndrome, sleep apnea, and porphyria. I never knew about the porphyria part. That's porphyria is when the liver doesn't fully process these chemicals into heme for hemoglobin, and you end up with these porphyrins, which are like toxic chemicals floating around. So this guy mentioned several methods of relaxing the vagus and moving the stomach back down through the hole in the diaphragm. I think I meant relaxing the diaphragm so the vagus can function, right? So he suggests ice packs on the diaphragm and he taps on points on the wrist, trigger points that relax the heart and lungs. If you have trouble with your stomach coming up through your diaphragm, he suggests trying, you drink a lot of water and then you jump. based on your physical fitness, you can jump off, you know, a step or a chair or whatever you're up to. Don't do a chair. Okay, and then he has a manipulation technique called a pull down. And he says a lot of people find that irritating. He wrote a lot of books on this stuff. So also electrical stimulation and chanting can stimulate that vagal nerve. Sleeping flat is not good for if you have the hiatal hernia, because if you sleep flat, your stomach could go back up into your chest through the hole. So he suggests using a wedge to keep your body slightly inclined. Another symptom is feeling hungry right after you eat is a sign of dysfunction of the vagus, and could be related to porphyria or hypoglycemia, which I always thought mine was hypoglycemia. So he says, stay away from inflammatory foods like nightshades. And I threw in carrageenan. Read your ingredients. Do not eat carrageenan. Foods that we crave are those we are most likely to be allergic to, which, yeah, I learned that long ago. I crave everything that's not good for me. So do not overeat, because of course that's going to fill your stomach up faster. And he suggests learning energy testing and balancing, and reflexology is good. So yeah, that would be nice to find a good reflexologist, get a foot rub. He has many books on porphyria, hiatal hernia, and the vagus. And porphyria is, I just explained, the liver disorder, so that it doesn't complete the production of heme. So there's his link. Are there any questions yet, comments? We're going to get to how to fix this in a second. But first, Dr. Berg, he's one of my favorites. He does these nice short videos. And he went over how to trigger the vagus nerve to go into the parasympathetic mode or rest and digest. So he goes over slow breathing, long walks, taking a potassium, magnesium, sodium supplement, using acupressure and electrical stimulation of the vagus. And these are the different problems you can have from lack of vagal stimulation: migraines, headaches, fibromyalgia, inflammation, Crohn's disease, depression, and epilepsy. So here are some ways to stimulate the vagus nerve. Now, I started out, I don't know why, with the Rife machine. And, you know, not everybody can have a Rife machine, which is an electrical stimulation machine that you program in the frequencies you want, and you can run it on different diseases. So anyway, you can look up Rife frequencies on YouTube, and here is one of the links. Just listening to that might help stimulate your vagus. And this is something Alta recently got, a copper cape. And so copper, I use copper socks, copper knee sleeve. Copper reduces inflammation. So wherever you're inflamed or in pain, you can put copper on that. And I find that it really works. And Alta has been enjoying her copper cape. It helps her neck, it helps her chest, her anxiety, and her stomach. She'll put it wherever she feels she needs it. And here's the link on Amazon. Here's Deepak Chopra was talking about vagal stimulation in this video. And as expected, he would say things like meditation, smiling. He said, like, smiling is so powerful at stimulating your vagus, and not only in yourself, but the people you're smiling at. And the more sincere your smile, the better it works. And also spending time in nature, which we know is very healing. Now, this guy is a yoga practitioner, and this is the video, and he has three ways to test vagal tone and three ways to stimulate the vagus. So one way, okay, we can do that now. You put your finger under your nose and breathe out your nose. Do you feel more on the right side or the left side? You got it? Okay. So if there's more air from your right nostril, you're in sympathetic mode, more fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And if it's more on the left side, then you're in parasympathetic mode and you're more rest, repair, digest, that mode. So he has three ways of stimulating the vagus. And one is just by a low hum that vibrates the back of my throat. It reminds me of some mantras. Number two, deep and slow diaphragmatic breathing. At the top of the inhale, you pinch your nose and lock your chin and hold the breath for four before you exhale. So it's four inhale, four hold your breath, and then four exhale.
What does lock chin mean?
That just means you hold your nose and you put your chin to your chest. That's what he calls it, lock chin, just chin to the chest. And then the third way he suggests is you gently pinch and massage your ear like you have a, I don't know, like an earring on, only it goes through the inside to the back of the ear. And then you massage in a circular motion five times in each direction. I don't know. I think it feels pretty good.
The horses like this.
How do they?
Yeah.
I use something similar to that when I have a headache. It does seem to help a little bit.
You massage your ears?
Well, I pull on the the ear canal and do a circular motion. So maybe I'm working on the video.
I think that's what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the next video, Alta uses this one. It's a woman that gives you a 10-minute vagus nerve stimulation just while sitting there. And first, she warms up by just twisting at the waist. And this is supposed to relax your muscles in there. And then with the relaxed abdomen, you place your hands on the belly button. Your dominant hand goes first, and then you press with your thumb like 30 times. I'm not going to do it 30. But once you're done with that, then you take your two fingers and point into that spot and press that 30 times. And then you take two fingers on each hand, so that's four fingers, and you push in 30 times. Then you take deep breaths and you see if you feel different after doing that exercise. So that's one that Alta likes. So now the next video is a very, he's a very Zen guy, you know, he's just very relaxed. And so he has this way to calm, to stimulate the vagus and calm yourself. First, you test your neck by turning to the right and to the left and see how far you can turn. Then you lean back and relax and turn your eyes to the right and hold it for 30 seconds or until you feel like yawning or sighing or swallowing. Not your head, just your eyes.
Oh.
And now do it to the left. So if you want to go longer later, that's okay. But then after you do this, go to the right and to the left and see if you can turn a little further. So I'm relaxed. Now we're going to cover some devices that stimulate the vagus nerve. The first guy, the marogenomics, you know, that first doctor that was all excited about the vagus, he found this one, which is FDA approved, and it's called NeuroSim by Parasim, and it's pretty expensive. He does have a link where you can get a discount. It does guarantee it 30 days or you can return it. And it's electrical stimulation worn around the ear. It's this little wire that goes around the ear and it gives an electrical pulse. And you can control the amplitude of the pulse with a remote. So that has had good clinical studies on it. Then this one is called Sensate. $300 and you can return it if you don't like it. And it's actually sound vibrations worn around, you wear it around the neck, but it goes over your thymus or your chest here. And it vibrates. And you can pay for an app, monthly fee, and it comes with music that will synchronize with this vibration. And then the third is this Apollo Neuro, and the app on this is included. It's very similar to the Sensate, but instead of on the chest, it's a band worn around the wrist or the ankle. And I know somebody who uses this and really likes it to calm herself down. So then does everybody know what a TENS unit is? You can get them at the CVS at the drugstore, and it's usually used for pain, and you put the little electrodes wherever, and then there's a remote that you can control the strength of the impulses. So it turns out that you can also use it for vagal stimulation. And there's two studies, there's more studies, but there's two that I list here. This is a 2021 study that compared the effects of a sham, you know, just they pretended to stimulate, and then the actual stimulation. And they tried the right and the left shoulder and measured heart rate and heart rate variability, which is a sign of how well your vagus is doing. If you have good heart rate variability, then you have a good vagal tone. So, this study found that it was effective on the right shoulder, right where near the neck, near where the vagus is coming out of the skull. And it also protected against heart failure by increasing the ejection fraction, how much the heart puts out with each beat. And there is the study there. It was in Nature. And then there was a 2016 study of the heart rate variability effects of TENS stimulation of the left or right ear, either at 10 or 60 minute intervals. So the 60 minute stimulation of the right ear in women, but not men, increased the heart rate variability significantly. So there's something about the right side, obviously. That would be an easy, cheap way of doing electrical stimulation for the vagus. But the bottom line of these studies is that the TENS unit can be used to stimulate the vagus, and that 60-minute sessions are more effective, and that the right side is more effective for heart issues, at least. It slows heart rate and improves ejection fraction of the ventricles. The placement of the TENS can be on the right ear, or maybe more easily on the right of the spine in the neck area, right here.
So, question, Connie?
Okay.
That particular information, where did you find it?
I do Google Scholar searches of medical literature. That's where I find my main, if I want real science, I do Google Scholar.
Okay.
And often, I got these from Google Scholar. This journal was the Autonomic Neuroscience Journal.
Okay, Google Scholar.
Yeah, everybody should know how to search medical information. Use Google Scholar. Although I use YouTube to find, you know, a path, you know, just to get a sense of what things are. I like the doctors on YouTube that use actual scientific references. So sometimes I find that too.
It's just amazing that, you know, what it's saying about heart, the increase in ejection fraction, people that have heart failure. You know, I've never heard of any doctor recommending this.
I don't think you'll find many doctors doing any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have saved lives.
That's true. So here's another picture. I showed that to you before. Where the vagus goes. Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a comment. There's this whole new information about the vagus nerve that comes from psychology, and it's called polyvagal theory.
Oh, good. Wait a minute. I'm trying to get to the next page. I want to write down what you're saying. Okay.
Okay, polyvagal, P-O-L-Y-V-A-G-A-L.
And is this is related to psychology?
It mostly comes from psychology, and it talks about how the vagus nerve splits into dorsal and ventral branches. And the dorsal branch goes along the back, the ventral branch goes along the front of the body, and they're associated with different psychological states. So a lot of this work has come from studying trauma. And there's the guy, Dr. Porges, P-O-R-G-E-S.
Dr. Porges?
Yes.
P-O-R-G-A-S.
Yes.
What?
G-E-S.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, I'll look that up.
Yeah, so a lot of this work has come from study of trauma, and they've looked at how early trauma can affect how the vagus nerve functions throughout your life.
Yeah.
So has he studied, you know, how to fix this?
They talk a lot about how to deal with it. You know, this is all about how to treat trauma survivors. But if you've been subjected to abuse early in life, you tend to have the dorsal vagal nerve overactivated. And you respond to everything like it's a threat, and you tend to be terrorized and frozen in response to threats. I think treating it is complicated.
Yeah, you know, but I would imagine there's ways of, I guess you go through psychotherapy, but while you do that, could be stimulating it branch is the overactive one.
Yeah, the dorsal branch has to do with fear and freezing in response to situations. So basically, when you're so terrorized that you can't move, that's the dorsal branch. And if that's what happens to people who are subjected to abuse early in life, is they get frozen because they're terrified, but they're also helpless. So they kind of freeze and block out emotions. And people can kind of get stuck in that mode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then the other interesting thing is the ventral branch that goes down the front of the body is associated with good feelings and being sociable and feeling safe and connected with other people. So a lot of the work has to do with stimulating the ventral branch and enhancing those feelings of connection with people and safety, and damping down the stimulus from the dorsal branch, which is the fear and freezing branch. So I think one of the ways, I mean, I'm not sure if they talk about this or if this is true, but you know, the rapid eye movement desensitization
procedure, oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think that those are, you know, work through this vagal nerve stuff. Like some of those exercises you were talking about where you move your eyes left and right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so apparently the rapid eye movement desensitization is like insanely effective for dealing with PTSD. So I think that's like one way that you can deal with this kind of vagal nerve dysfunction that's from trauma. So anyway, I think that's just a whole other interesting thing about the vagal nerve.
Right. That's really psychology. That's a great addition. Yeah.
I can add something to that too.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm working, I don't know if I mentioned this, I work with students, a lot of them have math anxiety, and I find a lot of times it comes from a trauma. It may not be not necessarily a terrible trauma, but some kind of trauma related to math where, like, maybe they were laughed at when they made a mistake, or a mistake in math, or something kind of similar. It could even just be a fear. And what I use the tapping, the EFT tapping on them to clear it as well, which is similar to that rapid eye thing. I forget what it's called, but anyway, oh, EMDR. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what EMDR?
Yeah.
What does that stand for?
Eye movement desensitization something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Desensitization.
Yeah, so I'm guessing because of, and you know, it's the amygdala that is the fight or flight response, and when that gets triggered, but with a fear, they have trouble doing math and remembering it. So yeah, the tapping, kind of, I don't know exactly. I guess it disassociates it, and it calms the brain, calms the amygdala, and it makes such a difference. I mean, I'm amazed sometimes at the difference it makes. So that is something too, you know, EMDR is good as well. The tapping I like because they can do it on themselves. But I'm guessing that this might have something to do with the vagus nerve too.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. But it's interesting what you said about the dorsal is the overactive, which is kind of fight or flight, mm-hmm. from trauma, and the ventral is the opposite.
Right, exactly.
Ventral
branch. Well, I think the dorsal, from what you said, that explains how when you, like, sometimes during sympathetic, like you see the tiger, you run away, right? That's a sympathetic response. But yeah. This would be the parasympathetic response, would be the freezing.
Yeah, it's actually the freezing.
So that explains that piece. And this business about, you know, how some people who've been traumatized in the past, they just don't function in scary situations. They're just, they freeze, they're helpless, they're disconnected, right?
Yeah.
This is very personal for me, I think, because I used to freeze a lot when I was younger. I had trauma at my birth, and maybe some other things too. And yeah, I can see some of this. So maybe I need to work on the vagus nerve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My trauma was when I was ready to be born, the doctor wasn't there. My mom was having me natural. So they pushed my mom's legs together to birth. Well, I was just reading about Rosemary Kennedy, the sister of the John Kennedy. That happened to her for, I think, was it 4 hours or maybe 2 hours. They held the mother's legs together. Ah. And she was, she had a lot of problems, a lot of psychological yeah. problems. I don't know if people know about this. It was an interesting part.
They put her in an institution eventually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What?
She had a lobotomy.
Yeah.
She had a lobotomy too. Oh, man.
Yeah. That was a terrible thing. It was an interesting article. It reveals all of what happened. And it was her father was a jerk. And he didn't want the rest of the family to know all about it, what was going on. And they did the lobotomy, and which made her worse. But putting her in institution, I think, was also part of it, because after the father died, the rest of the family, like nieces and nephews even, started connecting with her, because they hadn't been. I'm not even sure if they knew where she was. Wow. But
they didn't.
Yeah. And she was able to improve.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad story. I mean, no one in the family knew what the father had decided when he decided to do the lobotomy. And of course, it was completely against her will. I mean, I don't think she had any say at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's scary. Yeah, she was institutionalized in Wisconsin. So he also sent her off very far away, so none of the family even knew where she was for many, many years.
Was it when, after he died, that they found out?
I'm not sure exactly. It may have been.
Yeah, that's what I kind of remember reading.
Yeah.
But I knew somebody else, her brother, had that same thing happen to him, where they pushed the mother's legs together, and he was brain damaged from it.
Well, yeah.
So, Jean, I guess you got off easy compared to what
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe it wasn't for very long that they pushed her legs together, but yeah.
Rich people used to put, you know, any kind of kid that was not normal, they put them somewhere. My aunt and uncle had a small home where they took care of people, and they ended up taking care of Peter Roosevelt, who had deformities. It almost looked like thalidomide, like his hands and feet were not formed, and he looked physically deformed, but he seemed mentally okay. And so he became part of our family. It was like he was at all the family reunions and everything. And he was about 4 or 5 years older than me, but he was very social and everything. But this was, I don't know if it was President Roosevelt's son or nephew. And then I read, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, he died and he had been a recluse, and it was very sad.
Well, there's a place here in Malvern called the Malvern Institute. Right now, it's a reputable rehab place. However, years ago, it's a beautiful home. Mm. And people who had problems with alcohol, they were sent there. And they had this tech that took care of them until, you know, they dried out. Mm. And so, it's the Malvern Institute. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah. Well, we need a lot of them, I guess. You know where this, my aunt and uncle's home was? It was the big home next to the Gwynedd Meeting. Gwynedd Meeting eventually bought that land and the home.
Wow. Where is that, like Paoli? Where is Gwynedd?
That's Gwynedd is up near Lansdale. North Wales. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So
if you go the turnpike east, the Lansdale exit is, I don't know. 309 exit of the turnpike. If you
go. All right. It's,
you know, it's kind of
the Welsh section, right?
It's Montgomery County.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of like with Alzheimer's patients, they just put them away. They don't try to make them better. And they just kind of assume like their mind is not even there. And who knows what's going on in their mind? I don't know if they really have an understanding, but you know, there's so many things they can do. I mean, well, now the Bredesen, Dr. Bredesen's protocol is reversing it, but you know, they just.
Well, my mother died in 2007, and she had been in an Alzheimer's unit since 2003, I guess. And I had tried to take care of her at home, but she had frontal lobe dementia, which made her downright dangerous, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how and she was kicked out of several Alzheimer's units before she found one that wouldn't over-medicate her and wouldn't, they knew how to deal with all sorts of Alzheimer's patients. But I think if I would have known then what I know now, could I have done something? But while you're trying to fix them, you also have to control their behavior, which sometimes is a problem.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't mean to blame people for putting away. And, you know, safety is an issue too. But I'm talking about the medical profession doesn't, I don't know if they don't look into things like this.
Well, there's no money in it. They just came out with another Alzheimer's drug that doesn't work and is toxic. Yeah. They just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, last time 60 Minutes had something where they're taking an electrode and taking the plaque away and the person was, well, the person.
Don't laugh. The thing is, they have discovered that the plaque does not cause Alzheimer's. It's like a body's reaction to brain damage.
Okay.
And so I have to send you the notes on Alzheimer's because this is relatively new, and there are now three sets of nursing homes that we know of that are using protocols that successfully reverse Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, it's all natural stuff. There's no drugs involved. So, you know, mainstream's not interested.
Lenny, my husband was just asking me about Alzheimer's because his aunt is getting severe Alzheimer's. What is the drug, specifically the new drug that you were talking about that they are giving?
Yeah, you mean the one you're supposed to stay away from?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I'm sure mainstream has covered it.
Yeah. And so where are those nursing homes? Can I look them up? And
yeah. All of it is in the Alzheimer's notes. And by the way, my website is live and you can look up under our group, that page, you will find the Alzheimer's and the routine and the, six different Zooms that we had and the notes. I only put the audio on the website because I couldn't figure out how to do, you know, upload the video to it, but it's a work in progress.
Connie, I just wanted to mention before I forget, because I've forgotten several times, my daughter had suggested that she would be willing to talk to you about how you can make videos easily accessible. And so just to put that out there, that might be helpful for you.
Yes, that would be great. When I edit them with iMovie, it doubles the size of the video.
So she can talk through all of that. She does vlogs every single week. And
if she knows WordPress, which she probably does.
You know, I don't recognize that, but.
It's generally the software that they use to make websites.
Okay.
So thanks. I've been looking for somebody. What do you have, Liz?
I have a show and tell. This is related to preventing Alzheimer's, because preventing is going to be a lot easier than curing it, right?
Right. Well, the guy, Bredesen, says that the earlier you get there, there's air scrubber. That's what we were talking about during our healthy home. That's also on the website.
Right. So this is what happened to me. Since Monica talked to us about the technology that she is involved with, I looked at it some more and I finally figured out what it was doing. And what it was doing is creating hydrogen peroxide and pumping hydrogen peroxide, you know, H2O2, through your air system. So your whole house can be permeated with hydrogen peroxide. Uses this catalytic converter. Anyway, since I figured that out, that's what it did, I started to look into it. and see if that was something I wanted to buy for my house, because it just seems a little bit moldy. And the hydrogen peroxide can actually take care of the pollutants, especially things like mold, in the air. And I figured it can also, you know, it'll also collect on surfaces. And I can imagine hydrogen peroxide would permeate surfaces like Monica was talking about, because what she was talking about sounded so fantastic. So when I looked into it more and more, I wanted to buy a standalone unit. And I almost bought one day, but I was in a hurry to get out of the house. I didn't buy it. And then the next day, my HVAC guy came to do regular maintenance. He pulled the panel off the front of the air handling unit in the house and showed me there's this huge growth of mold growing inside my HVAC system. So there's all this mold in there. And then he said they have two things that they can put in the unit where the fan is. They had a UV light, and then they also had this air scrubber. He's like, oh, we also have this air scrubber. He's like, I don't really know much about it, how it works. So he showed me the box.
And it turned out to be your box.
This is the box that it came in.
Oh.
It had to be the same technology made by the same company that Monica was telling us about. So he said, I don't really know much about it, but you know, here's the box. I said, yeah, I want to see the box. So I read the box and I was so excited because like this is what I had almost bought the day before. But he
was this cheaper?
System.
Was it cheaper?
No, it wasn't cheaper, but it's where it needs to be.
Oh, okay.
it would be the same price, but then, you know, having him install it in the air handling unit costs a bunch of money too. But it was in the air handling unit. So, you know, that's where it needs to be. And mm-hmm. then it's pushing hydrogen peroxide out through my whole house, through the ductwork. And yeah. it growing in the air handling unit. So
awesome. Yeah.
It's like, I'm so pleased with this. I was so excited when he showed me what he had. Like, oh, this is even
I know about that. So you're a woman right. in the know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know Volara was having a 50% off sale on theirs. I don't know if they're still having it.
Huh. Who was?
Volara through Monica. That's what Monica works with, the company Volara that makes that. Is it air scrubber or it's a different machine? It just uses the same technology.
Yeah. But it's like a standalone unit, right? You stand it up in your house.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is just the it has a UV light, but it also has the converter.
PCO.
The converter part.
That was the PCO technology we were talking about, right?
Right. And we couldn't really figure out what it was doing. Because when you try to read about it, it's pretty vague.
Well, that website was vague, but through Google Scholar, I found the study that actually, you know,
showed. So what it is, it produces hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, because you gave us that article. Right. So anyway, there it is. My house is like a lot better, and I can breathe again, which is really nice.
Wow.
So you feel good now, do you?
I feel a lot better.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Okay, that's my report.
Yay.
So I wanted to add something. I've just been going to a new, I was going to physical therapy for the truck accident that totaled my car a year ago now. And I've had trauma from that. Evidently, I was wondering why I was in bed for months. Why aren't I get? I was in good health. I was biking. I was hiking before this, and I think it's the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. Everything tightened up, and I'm putting that together now. But my new occupational therapist, I've only been to him twice. He's very good, and he could tell just by looking at me. I have a little bit of scoliosis, and I said yes, I do, and he had me cross one leg over the other one, and then the other side. And then when I was sitting under one side, he put probably half an inch under me and said, how does that feel? And then he did the other side, and he's trying to even out my diaphragm. So I'm going to ask him about the vagus nerve. And he taught me. And so when I'm sitting now, when I'm holding a pocketbook over my shoulder, the right shoulder is down. He said, you always put it on the left, right?
And he said, that's because your scoliosis. So we all, you know, our legs might be a little bit different, and then it tilts our hips. And so he said, put something under your left side. And it didn't make sense to me, but because my right side goes down, but that's, he's correcting. He said a trained eye can tell that you are off, you're out of sync, you're off kilter. And then he had me, the first lesson he had me do, the first exercise, he said, you need to learn to breathe. He said, breathe for me. And I breathed, I took a breath in fast and my chest went up. And he goes, no, that's all wrong. And he's so funny. He's going, that's horrible. And I'm like, what am I doing? And so he had me put my hand on my stomach and my other hand on my chest. And he said, watch me. And he had a badge here. He goes, I'm breathing through my stomach. My stomach's going out. My chest, my badge isn't even moving. So he had me practice that when I went home all week. He kept doing it with me. I couldn't get it at first. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't think women in particular, you know, we wear tighter stuff. And I don't think, you know, men let things hang all out, right? But I think women like to suck in their stomach. And maybe it's me, maybe it's other women, I don't know. But I'm not used to breathing and push and having my stomach go out when I breathe. And that's part of this trauma. My mother had passed away, and then it was a horrible, horrible situation that I can't even talk about. She shouldn't have passed away. It was family members. And then I got in that truck accident when I was going to get my stuff from her house. So, you know, my brain connected, made those connections. And basically, I felt like I've been suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, but everything was locked. All my joints, all my ligaments, all my bones, my muscles, they've all been stiff and locked. So he's having me breathe. And another exercise he just gave me was, you know, the square dance where you step in a square. Mm-hmm. He said that opens up your hips. Those muscles are exercised and it opens them up. So you go right foot first and then to the right, and then the left foot meets the right, and then you go in a square, you know, and then you do that 10 times, and then you do the left going first and go in a box. It's it's a box step, I guess it's called. And so that's all coming together for me. I'm thinking, this is the vagus nerve, my diaphragm, my breathing, me being tensed up, and nothing, no exercise is really helping too much.
So are you saying that
try some of this stuff, the stimulating the vagus with all, I mean, there's so many different ways here. Do you have a TENS unit?
No.
I'd be interested in somebody trying that out.
And you can get that at the pharmacy?
Yeah, anywhere. It's about $40, $45.
And
Nancy, when he says to breathe into your abdomen, so our chest is not supposed to expand when we breathe?
No, not really. Oh, and the other thing is, I was breathing in quickly. He said, slow down, slow down. He said, very slowly. I almost have to force my stomach to go out, push your stomach out, and it'll fill the lower part of your lungs with air. That's where most of your oxygen comes from, is the lower part of your lung.
I'm really familiar with it. Hand on the chest, hand on the belly, and the chest doesn't move. And that's where the lungs can expand.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be relaxing. And I imagine it's going to affect your diaphragm as well and the vagus nerve there. But in without him getting scientific about it, I'm going to, he probably didn't want to get into that, just get to the remediation, but I'm going to ask him about the vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do, he was almost combing with his hands, my muscles, and moving the lymph glands and the tissue. And then he was pressing on the back of my neck, because I am stiff on the right side. You were talking about the right side of the shoulder and the neck, all from the back of my shoulder to my neck has been very stiff. And my right side, my whole right side is going for therapy, the foot, the knee, everything. And then he was pressing on the back of my neck here and shaking it a little bit. And I was thinking of Connie's. I said to him, "Oh, my friend has a unit that you stand on and it shakes." and I said, I was going to my chiropractor and he was doing that. And he goes, "Oh, your chiropractor knows what he's doing then. You don't just press, but you have to sort of shake it." And that's reminding me of the rapid eye movement going back and forth.
Right. It's all fitting together. Yeah. Dee, did you have something?
I do. I do have a TENS unit for my nerve injury. So I'm just curious. I was injured in 1991. Someone hit me from behind in my car, and there was no damage to my car, you know, and I felt the pain in my shoulders, but I was young and I was in a hurry and it was before cell phones. So I let the driver go. And, you know, I never got any information and I never really treated it properly because, you know, life, my job, a single mom, you know, we do things we regret years later. So I do have severe arthritis on my left side. And I have a shoulder that's higher than the other with some rounding on that side, like a hump. And I wanted to know, where do you think I should place that TENS unit? You said somewhere behind the ear.
There's one study where they did the ears. There's another one where they did it on the right side of the, right here, right on the shoulder.
So if my injury is more on the left side, should I do it on my right side?
I think, try that.
Okay.
You know, whatever you do is probably not going to hurt.
Not at this point. It was over 30 years ago. So I already have arthritis on that entire side of my body. But
which side?
My left.
And the neck injury, was that more on which side?
All on my, pretty much my left side.
Okay. Yeah.
And to add insult to the injury, I did finally get physical therapy done. I had to wear a neck brace and the physical therapist put me in traction and the weight was too heavy. And when she took it off, something snapped in my mid thoracic back area.
Oh, gee.
So I'm a mess in that area as well. So I'm just wondering if I have a TENS unit, you know, I use it for my buttock pain, the sit pain, but I might want to use it for that other pain as well.
You know, after learning all this about the vagus, try that because it's rest and repair, right?
Yeah, I don't ever rest or repair. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia at the age of 19. So something happened to me either viral or trauma-wise to my neck area. I was also a premature baby with the cord around my neck. So there could be a lot of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you look good.
Oh, thank you. I feel like crap.
You've been told that all your life, right? You look good. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. Thanks.
I need to leave. And I thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for coming, Marietta.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Should we? Wait a minute. Severe arthritis on the left side. What was I going to write?
And mid thoracic pain. So in between my shoulders. So that's another area I was wondering if that could be treated with a TENS, but.
Do you stretch? And
I have done some stretching and I do some yoga periodically. I mean, I've kind of lost touch with all of that because with the chronic pain from the nerve compression injury in the pelvic area and the buttock area, it's kind of draining on top of my fibro. It's like each day it's a balancing act. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to hop on major medications to try to treat my nerve pain with gabapentin. And that was a nightmare.
Jennifer does a lot of Qigong and has had a lot of luck with that, right? Okay.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that, but I tried yoga and it was just so draining for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. But the Qigong, and I've tried lots of things because I've had CFIDs for 34 years now. So I've tried plenty of things. Qigong is the only thing that the only exercise, if you will, it's considered more practice than exercise, but it's the only thing that I feel energized after I finish, as opposed to feeling worn out and
wiped out.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, like, I've done pool therapy, the yoga. I get out of the pool and I feel so wiped out. You know, I've done physical therapy in the pool because of fibromyalgia. It's easier to do it in a pool, but when I get out, I'm exhausted. It's like I can't do any kind of major physical activity. I haven't been able to do that since my 20s. You know, folding laundry and doing laundry was the first few signs that I knew something wasn't right. And such a young age to feel like I was 80 years old when I was 20, you know? So I will definitely check it out. Thanks so much, Jen.
Yeah. And I was diagnosed with both CFIDS, chronic fatigue and immune dysfunction syndrome, and fibromyalgia. So I have some of the components of both. And I personally like traditional Chinese medicine. TCM is the website. I've just really connected with the folks on that website, and the Grandmaster Nan Lu is the person who basically oversees or brought this from China to the United States. And it's been nothing but positive for me, and I can't say enough positive about it, but it's a life changer. My sleep is better. I just noticed that my pain is less, and there's just been so many positive things. My digestion is much, much better than it was, but it does require a daily, you know, regular practice, not just doing it periodically or whatever. So
I was going to ask you if we could exchange information later or emails. And I'm in Connecticut. I'm not sure where you are.
I'm in Landenburg, PA.
Okay. We do have a TCM clinic right in West Hartford, and he's straight up from China. Same deal. He treats various conditions with TCM. So he may even have the Qigong information on his website as well. But do you go to a clinic directly, or do you just do everything?
No, actually, I do all of this online. So during the pandemic, Master Lu started having these online programs. And so I have, he does seasonal programs. There's something called the Four Energy Gates that help open up all the meridians in your body. And I just bought a DVD it's a video online that I connect with. I did take a Dragon's Way Qigong class locally by someone who studied with Master Lu, and I've continued to take those sometimes online, but most everything I do is online, which makes it easier because then I can do it when it fits.
Feel up to it. Yeah. Yeah. And like for me, even just getting to West Hartford is a 30 minute trek for me. So sitting in my car 30 minutes creates pain, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose. And then I would have to drive back in pain. You know, I'm trying to find something online, like similar to what you're talking about. So that would be wonderful. I would love to check that out. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What is the website, Nancy? Who's that? Jennifer. Sorry.
It's TCM.com. And then Master Lu has his own website. And I think it's just masterlu.com. Although I'm not positive about that. I just do it automatically without even thinking.
Is it LU?
LU.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. It may be Grandmaster Lu because he's actually a grandmaster.
Yeah. Now, do you just do those four gates or do you do other Qigong as
so
well?
So he does a seasonal program. And so normally I do the seasonal. He has Qigong practice with the seasonal program. So normally I do that. And then there's what's called Dragon's Way, which is a 10-step Qigong practice. I also do that. So and he just finished a segment on eyes, where he did every Tuesday night for 5 or 6 weeks, a program on different eye issues, and did one on glaucoma. So I'm actually have now started doing 5 exercises that he suggested, eye exercises to strengthen your eyes. And those are on his website also. So I probably do between 30 minutes and an hour of Qigong practice every day. So it's a combination of those different things.
Can I ask, do you take any kind of herbal supplements as well? Does he promote that?
You know, when I do the seasonal program, he does offer an herbal some herbs, and so I do those, and that's usually just one or two bottles, just for like maybe a week or two.
Okay.
But otherwise, I don't do Chinese herbs. Now, okay. I just started seeing an acupuncturist, local acupuncturist last week. He does acupuncture, Grandmaster Lu, and offers it at his clinic, but it's in New York City, which is not very convenient.
No.
but in this eye program, he actually suggested that if you can find a local acupuncturist, that would be helpful with eye issues. So I just saw someone for the first time last Friday. Wow, I am so excited to continue seeing her. She just really understands, you know, the whole traditional Chinese medicine, even though she grew up here in the United States, but just really listened and heard what I was saying when I went in for my appointment, which is not often the case. So I'm excited.
Jennifer, who is that?
Her name is Mary Fatima Weening.
Is she
in Unionville?
Unionville, okay.
And she just moved out there right before the pandemic. She was in Narberth before that, in Philly. Pardon?
Give her name again.
Oh, Mary Fatima, F-A-T-I-M-A-H, I believe. Weening, W-E-E-N-I-N-G.
Oh.
So she actually did do some sessions with Master Lu, studied with him for a bit, which was why I ended up choosing her when I was looking for someone locally. And she's also studied with several other masters, but I'm excited to work with her.
Cool. Jennifer, I think that's fantastic that you found this TCM and the Qigong, and I know the TCM works on horses really well, so it's not all in your head.
Mm-hmm.
The acupuncture and the Chinese medicine, you know, the mixtures with the herbs. I know a vet who uses it to cure bone infections, which are like really hard.
Wow. But
yeah, it's fantastic and amazing. So I'm glad you found it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the most amazing thing to me, and I shared this with Mary Fatima last week, is that my attitude about life is so different. I mean, one of the things that Master Lu talks about is that the universe unconditionally loves you. And having grown up in a family where love was never shown and not ever feeling loved as a child, that was huge.
Yeah.
That was huge to know that the universe unconditionally loves me.
Yeah. Makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference. It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Jennifer, you look different than you did a long time ago when you were on here. You look like a whole lot more relaxed and healthy.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm working on that, making a conscious effort. You know, very early on when I started doing the Qigong, I was lying in bed one night and I realized that I thought I was relaxed and my body was so tense.
Yeah.
That when I let out, you know, an exhale and actually felt my body relaxed, I realized how tense I was. And I thought, I need to work on this. This is not good to be lying in bed trying to fall asleep. And my body is just like this.
Wow. It's amazing. Our body's just like my husband will say to me, he'll see my hands like this or my foot up, like angled up while I'm talking. My body just instinctively does it, but I'm not aware that I'm doing it. So he'll just put his hand on mine to make me relax a little, but our bodies become accustomed to it over so many decades. We don't even realize we are in this large knot of tension.
Yeah. Since my accident, I'll be sitting here still watching TV by myself and my toes are curled. I'm like, why am I curling my toes? Or I see something, you know, about vaccines on TV and advertisement, and I'm like curling my toes.
All the wonder.
But then, you know, then I have to remind myself to breathe. And I have a second physical therapist, and she says, breathe. She keeps telling me, breathe, breathe. It's so important.
I mean, I find myself not breathing at certain points.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
not breathing. I'm holding my breath. I need to breathe.
Me too. Me too. And she goes, stand up against the wall and, you know, just stand up right against the wall. And I put my feet against and I held my breath. And she goes, breathe. I'm like, I didn't realize I was holding my breath.
You don't realize. Nope.
Wow.
So that's just been for me, I was just going to share that's been sort of a secondary, you know, I went there for the Qigong, but I'm finding all of these other benefits that I would have never anticipated or wasn't looking for that are probably even more beneficial than the Qigong itself, because it's really how you feel and what you think that dictates so much of how your body responds and how you react to different situations and different things.
Right. And it might have, other opportunities may have been out there, but now you're looking for it and you're finding it. You're open to it. And you're seeking it now too. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Chinese medicines, I don't know if this is Chinese, but I take this every day. It's an adaptogen. Mm-hmm. And it's called Andrographis. Yes. Every single day. I don't miss a day without it, and I need it every day. And I don't know exactly why, but my body wants it every day.
I believe, Nancy, it's a natural antibacterial. They actually use it's a natural antibiotic for some instances. I don't know why either, but I learned that a while.
It might do more than that, because I don't think I use it for antibacterial. I take probiotics but I know I probably looked it up and wrote it on the bottle, but I think I asked my naturopathic doctor about it, and it just, an adaptogen helps other things work better, I'm thinking. Does that sound right to anybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was the name of that again?
It's Andrographis, Andrographis. Standard Process makes it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a, if we can move to something else, I will have a question or need. I want to see if anybody else has some ideas for this, because I've been getting the fluid in my ear, and I thought it had gone away, but I started finding balance issues. So I went to the doctor. She said, yeah, you got fluid in your ear again. And she says it's caused from inflammation in the ear. And I'm doing lots of things. I mean, my diet is, I gave up the sugar, and you know, it's pretty healthy, and I'm doing different things. I did a sauna, but so far I'm not seeing an improvement, or at least
I can't remember. Do you still have mercury? You had yours out.
Not all. I still have two teeth.
Yeah, that was the last two, and all my ear trouble that I had for 7 years went away. So I'm figuring.
Well, it's not infected.
You know, what if you just did, if you didn't want to get them out right now, I'm thinking, what if you just did a mouthwash with cilantro, which binds to the mercury, and then you spit it out?
Okay.
So maybe any mobilized mercury in there might come out with a mouthwash.
So I think I also have inflammation in other areas too, because I know I have some swelling below my knee. So I'll do that, but I'm wondering other methods for getting rid of inflammation.
Well, this vagus is supposed to get rid, the vagus stimulation is supposed to get rid of inflammation. So that, I mean, it works on your immune system, which is the basis of inflammation. So do some of these things and see what happens.
Okay.
And where is your inflammation bothering you?
Well, right below my left knee, it's a little swollen there. And
does
I also
it, hurt?
It only hurts when I kneel. You know, if I kneel, it hurts.
I wonder if the copper knee sleeve would help.
Yeah, I could try that.
Because